international detective dragons from outer space.
Welcome back to International Detective Dragons from Outer Space. I'm Anum 5, and thank you very much for downloading and listening to this special supplementary bonus interview episode. It's a supplementary episode to number 36, the main topic of which will be gender issues in gaming. But the main content of this particular installment is...
Could you repeat that, please?
Why, of course, darling. I'd be happy to do an interview.
That's not what you just said.
Yes, indeed. An interview with Mrs. Anum 5. And we'll get right to that after this. Hello, everyone. Today's installment is going to be a special supplementary episode of International Detective Dragons from Outer Space. We're not going to follow the normal format. The show primarily, well, in its entirety, is going to consist of an interview with Mrs. Anum 5, dealing in many points specifically with the gender issues in online gaming, and we'll branch off into a few other side topics that have to do with PC gaming and console gaming in general. We'll be getting back to the regular standard IDD FOS format that the show normally follows in episode 36. But for this particular installment, what we have is an interview with Mrs. Anum 5. And rather than talk about it, I think I'll just get to it. So here we go.
Well, now, on the subject of, let's see, how did I put it? The official question for this particular episode 36. What are your gaming experiences in both tabletop RPGs and in online MMOs that are directly gender-related, specifically the view and treatment of female characters? Now, obviously, I can't give the point of view or the perspective of a female character. However, I do know someone that can, personally, and it happens to be Mrs. Anum 5, because I have witnessed, and of course, being the first-person player, she has witnessed lots of different gaming environments and firsthand what that might mean. It's the dogs, you see. They're trying to get in on the interview. They both tried to climb up my nostrils. First of all, I'd like to introduce Mrs. Anum 5. You've heard tiny little snippets of her voice in earlier podcasts. Not nearly enough, but just a quick hello then from
Mrs. Hello.
There we are. I find this a very interesting topic, and I'm taking a gamble that a lot of people that listen to the show will find it an interesting topic as well, because other podcasts have covered it. But before we jump right into the main question, I guess what I should ask is, what kinds of games have you played? What's your gaming experience?
Many. World of Warcraft and others. That's how you define them, just World of Warcraft and then others.
Yeah, World of Warcraft would be for, that's one of the online multiplayer games that you played that essentially shares a space with other players, but you played other PC games and things like that as well, haven't you?
Yes.
Do you have any favorites?
Dungeon Keeper.
Dungeon Keeper?
Dungeon Keeper. You can't smack imps and not like Dungeon Keeper, I'm sorry.
That's Dungeon Keeper, if I'm not mistaken, that's the one where you play the evil overlord of a dungeon and you have to manage...
all the dark minions and destroy the bad guys, the good guys, rather, yes. Evil is good. Yay, evil.
Okay. I could feign surprise at that, but I'm not going to.
And nor should you.
Any others?
Black and white. Also, see, you notice there's a trend here with God-controlling games that I like to play. You've noticed this, haven't you?
You like epic management type games?
Those are fun. When they're done right, they're fun.
When you have thousands upon thousands of digital minions that live or die by your command?
Yes.
I can understand the appeal.
Yes.
As far as the fantasy genre is concerned, I know that you had a lot of fun for a while with, I think it was Might and Magic.
The old Might and Magic, yes. Might and Magic 3 and 4 and 6.
The one that goes all the way back to the 8-bit or 16-bit graphics? I think it was 8-bit graphics.
8-bit. Which now is just so cute and quaint.
Mm.
And also the original, actually, Warcraft, before it became World of Warcraft. It was just Warcraft.
That would explain a lot about why you know so much of the lore.
Yes.
Connected with the present game.
Yes.
That confused me for a while. I didn't. You knew all these names, and I didn't understand why until I realized that you've been playing World of Warcraft before it was
World of Warcraft.
quite as famous as it is now. One of the things that makes this interesting, at least as far as podcast listeners goes, is the fact that primarily computer games, console games, PC games in general, and tabletop role-playing games, they've traditionally been kind of heavily balanced towards men, towards the male. It's always been guys, young and old, playing it with a very, very low representation of women. As a matter of fact, I think the most recent, I could be wrong on this, but I think the most recent figures are, in reality, if everyone is telling the truth, that only 20% of women, young and old, are playing World of Warcraft. Why do you suppose that is?
Because men are losers.
Would you care to elaborate on that?
You want me to try to think of a more serious answer about that question? You said don't, like, rehearse an answer.
You don't have to rehearse an answer.
I didn't.
Why, excuse me, because men are losers?
Yes. Women know better. I'm sorry. Well, what do you want? I told you I needed coffee.
We should maybe pick this up again after.
I didn't tell you I need coffee.
We'll pick this up again after coffee. back in a bit.
You can put the men are losers.
Because men are losers.
Your female listener base will cheer. They'll go.
Hello.
So that would be my answer. Guys are generally more competitive than women. And women think these games are stupid.
Well,
they don't understand that there's an enjoyment.
One could argue that most women think these games are stupid, but obviously you don't think they're completely stupid because you've gotten some degree of entertainment and enjoyment just from playing them yourself, I think. I mean, I recall getting Abe's World.
Oddworld.
For the 360.
Yes.
Essentially, I think that's why we got the 360,
that's
because of that game.
Yes, we did. No, we got the Xbox.
Or the Xbox, right.
We got the Xbox because of the third installment of the game, which was only out on Xbox, which is why we got the Xbox.
And the first two installments came out on PC.
On the PC. PS. PS.
PlayStation?
Yeah. Yeah, we owned a PlayStation, one, an old one.
Okay.
It's in the basement.
So yeah, so there's Oddworld. There's Might and Magic. There's any Dungeon Keeper, any number of games that you have found entertaining. So it's kind of a generalization to say that women overall, in general, and comprehensively think they're all stupid.
No, I don't think they think they're all stupid. Just more like, what's the point type thing. They kind of look at them and go, oh, that looks interesting, amusing, but I got other things to do. What's the point of playing it? Nothing productive comes out of it. I'd much rather...
and then pick your choice
from whatever. And then pick your choice from whatever else there is. They just don't find it as entertaining. A lot of women, I'm sure, do find it entertaining in small spurts. Some are not nearly as obsessed. You know, they don't spend all their time. You know, they don't spend hours and hours and hours playing.
I'm competing for airtime with the dogs. If I'm not competing with cement mixers going by over railroad tracks, then I'm competing with dogs fighting over their little red tug rags. You and I both got very heavily involved in an online three-dimensional world.
Yes.
And it was one of, it was both of our first experiences in an interactive three-dimensional environment.
Yes, it was.
Can you tell us, what can you tell us about that?
Without naming it?
That's up to you.
They don't get free airtime. It was very enjoyable. And comparatively, it's very simplistic graphics, almost cube-like, but, you know, in comparison to World of Warcraft or EverQuest or any of the other big names out there, but it was very enjoyable because it was very heavy into RP, which was the enjoyable part of it. Was the other people you were interacting with and how they stayed in character during your time in there, and that because it was so small, pretty much the sky was the limit to anything you wanted to. You had a direct effect on the world, which is missing from the bigger games because they can't do that. There's just too many players to accommodate.
Essentially, this place was... if World of Warcraft were Los Angeles, this place would be Maplewood, New Jersey or something.
Even smaller than that.
Okay. And you say you could have directed... what you're saying because I was a part of it, but I want to hear it from your perspective. You could have a direct influence on...
On the world itself, on the role play itself, kind of like a tabletop. It's almost like a three-dimensional tabletop game. Where you could, you know, like a Dungeons and Dragons, where your decision had consequences, had a cause and effect. What you decided based on your character was how things, at least on a personal level, could proceed with interactions with other players, with NPCs.
I would guess that that's not really possible in these super large games, like EverQuest or World of Warcraft. It's just not possible to do that because you've got thousands upon thousands of people that are all, they're in there to role play, they're in there to role play on a very limited basis. What this sounds like is a place where if you say the castle falls down and it fits the story and someone that's there that has the capability of knocking the castle down, the castle's going to fall down.
It could fall down, right.
Yeah. And if some new and exciting creature was supposed to come along, you could foreshadow it, you could talk about it, you could work it into a storyline, and then suddenly something was there that wasn't there before.
Right, to a degree.
Well, all right. Moving on from there, I guess the next logical step is, if we're going to get into the subject matter of this particular show, you played a male character in this world.
Yes.
Primarily. Did you ever play a female character and go into the world?
Yes, briefly. Want me to elaborate?
If you would, I guess the obvious question would be, how heavily did you get into the role play for the female character and the male character, and what were the differences?
Got into the male character far more, because it was interacted with far more. I tried the female character, and, you know, portrayed it very early. This was very early on in my first encounters with this world. And it wasn't received as much for whatever reason. It was ignored, practically. You'd ask a question, and it got kind of blown off. Whereas when I asked the same question in the male character, I got an answer. So it could have just been who was around. I mean, it wasn't a complete, you know, apples-to-apples situation, but it just opened it up a little bit more with the male character.
Now, we're talking about a world that's essentially a private neighborhood of about 40 to 50 people.
At most.
At most. I think on average, when we were involved with it, the average was something like 25 to 28 a night.
If not more, yeah, about that.
A little bit more when main events were going on. Actually, there had to be more because I recall...
A lot more people.
A lot more people.
There was usually about 30 to 40 on when we were playing.
Yeah.
On an average. But the male character just got received better. For whatever reason. It could have been the timing. It could have been whatever. I never quite figured out why that was. It just was. So that's why I stuck with the male character. Because, well, okay.
When you say received, do you mean like better treatment overall or recognition? Or
spoken to, you know. Hi, how are you? Can I help you with something? I just talked to, really, the female character when I first brought her in. It was like the newbie ghost that nobody talked to. You know, hi, and maybe one or two people gave a response of hello, and that was about it. Nobody, are you new? Do you need help? There was no offering of assistance. There was no anything.
Hmm.
So I swung in just for fun as a male character and got a lot better interaction with him. So I stuck with him.
And by sticking with that character, I should note now, that male character rose to the level of considerable prominence, power, and reputation in this 3D world, to the point where Mrs. Adam Fly became a developer for part of the project, in charge of primarily storyline, and became a functional and vital part of what made the place more and more entertaining for more and more people. I'm going to say that because I know Mrs. Adam 5 isn't going to blow her own horn in this respect, so I'm going to. Fortunately, I was able to supplement a lot of what she tried to introduce into the world with some 3D models. You've seen those already if you clicked on the link from episode 16 or 17, I can't remember which one it was, that dealt with online MMOs. Part of the arguments that people have, or part of what makes this an interesting question for a lot of people, is that in a digital environment, whether it's just the internet or whether it's one of these massive multiplayers, is the fact that people can do precisely what you did. People can play an opposite gender and not actually be known to be otherwise one way or another, unless you get on some kind of a voice connection like Ventrilo or Skype. I guess this is really not something that can be proved or disproved, but in your opinion, do you think most of the other players in that particular world could possibly have been doing what you were doing?
Absolutely, and I know of some who were, that you find out, because it is a small environment, so you do eventually hear things, but I'm sure there are some that are taking on the opposite role for whatever reason. Or males playing females, or females playing males. A lot of women also take on a male role, a male character, so that other guys leave them alone. Because for some reason, you walk into any... In World of Warcraft 2, you walk in as a female character, and for some reason, this just seems to be open season. Depending, I mean, unless you're like an undead in World of Warcraft where you're really ugly and even then you're not safe. where you just get these hormonal teenagers who wanna, oh, you be my girlfriend kind of thing. And in a smaller environment that also happens. And a lot more. The younger guys, you think they're guys anyway. I tend to think they're guys because a woman playing a guy would not do this. Going after, quote, female characters wanting to be their beaus.
So there are identifiable behavior patterns.
Yes.
In an intimate setting. Admittedly, there aren't a lot of those. Small guilds, possibly, maybe clubs, exclusive clubs or tight-knit communities that exist within a larger world where you can recognize behavior patterns that are specifically male or female?
I think so, yes.
Do you think that you've convinced pretty much most of everybody in this smaller MMO that, you can't even call it massive, in this smaller online community that you were in fact a male?
Yes. It kind of happened over time, but yeah, I think most of them believe that I really was a guy in real life.
See, the part that I find interesting about that is that you never actually set out to do that, and you never continued actively in any way, shape, or form to try to maintain a male persona other than your name and character.
It was just my persona, but because of the character, they just took it as male.
As the player being...
As the player being male, because the character was male. As far as the running of the character, that was still me. Maybe some of them thought I was gay because I was just, you know, maybe just too personable. I mean, again, there are traits that you just can't hide. One of the things I found is...
Well, the fact that you were willing to talk to everybody and listen to anything anybody had to say to you.
But the other thing that became known with this character was he was quite a ladies' man, and not because... Women just flocked to this male character.
That's very funny.
He just was so sensitive, and he was so great, and he listened, and they all, like, boom, like...
They yeah.
Which was funny, because that obviously wasn't the intent.
Are you sure you don't want to say this character's name?
Mm-mm. That's okay.
Do you feel... Now, this is one of the questions that I wanted to ask, and you don't have to answer it. But do you feel that your ability to continue to play this character... I understand, I mean, both of us have kind of drifted away from this particular world for a variety of reasons that we're just not going to go into in this particular show because it's got nothing to do with the question, but I think this has. Do you feel that your ability... to play the character and other people's perceptions of the character would drastically change?
Absolutely. If they knew, they knew my true life gender, yeah, absolutely. I think it would completely shatter the image this character has. 100%. I mean, some people probably wouldn't care. Some would probably go, oh, that's why. But... I think for a good portion of these people, it would just, like, I was suddenly an alien. I'd suddenly be this alien that suddenly they couldn't, things they used to be able to say, now they can't.
And yet supposedly this is supposed to be a completely in-character role-playing world, and out-of-character OOC stuff is supposed to be precisely that. And not affect the game at all.
Right, but people are people, and they're going to let it affect it.
I guess if we found a crossover, at least one crossover between tabletop RPGs of every genre and online digital RPGs, those that do engage in role playing, then this would be one of them anyway. I played briefly a night elf female in World of Warcraft. I started running one for a while. The Rogue. Because I had heard a long while ago, that if you play a female character, you get gold and gifts and things early on for nothing.
Sometimes.
Did you experience that?
Once or twice, yeah. I had, even my main character, which is female, my main... that I play in World of Warcraft, she got, you know, guns and, you know, a little, you know, gold here from a guild that she had joined very early in the game. Didn't last long, but she joined it and got, like, a couple of things sent to her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether it was just a kind gesture or because she was female, you know, you decide. I have had other female characters that I've run, which, yeah, I've had guys... give, you know, bags and stuff and all these things, too, which doesn't happen. Also, people are more inclined to help you out with quests as a female character, I've noticed also.
Well, I stopped playing the Night Elf female whatever after the Night Elf's name was Zynk, Z-Y-N-K. And I kind of blew off this particular encounter. One, this, I think it was a male night elf warrior that came up to her as she was running along in Ironforge and stopped and said hello and then said, "Zink, well now, that is a precious metal, isn't it?" And I thought, oh, that was supposed to be a funny pickup line. And at the time, I thought it was very amusing, but simultaneously, I was completely creeped out. I just, for some reason, I was like, I feel really
dirty
right now and creeped out, and I don't think I'm going to do this anymore. So.
Welcome to the world of female characters, where a lot of women playing women characters, that's why we play male characters, because we got to put up with that. With these hormonal teenagers walking up to you with lines like that.
Okay. All right, well, see, I didn't know that. Now, supposedly, lately anyway, it's assumed pretty much, at least by the seasoned veterans of... considering the game's only been out for, what, 3 years now? 2 years? As an online environment, that there are seasoned veterans of World of Warcraft who will assume, until they actually hear a clearly identifiable female voice connected with the character that's playing a female, that every other female in the game is being played by some guy. Except probably for the very new players and the very young players that haven't quite learned how to discern. Although, as we heard from Kurt the camera guy in his letter, he is known to be a male, and he played a male character, then one of his other characters, which is female, then switched back to the male character, and noticed a change in how he was treated when he played the female character, even though everyone he was playing with knew full well that the female was being run by a man behind the keyboard, the character got treated differently.
I can believe that. I've seen that.
You've seen that yourself?
I've seen that in the guild I was in, where there was a female character who everyone knew was male. I mean, a big, deep male voice on Ventrilo talking to you. No, you know, identifying, so it was no secret. And yet, I think before raid, he would put his character into dancing, probably so he wouldn't go AFK. And the guys would just go and dance with this female character. And he had male characters too, which he, you know, depending on what you needed a mage or a warrior or something, he'd bring in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was male would not get the same response. It was amazing. And so, yes, I can believe that you are treated differently, even though everyone knows. It's for some reason something about the AV itself. The picture they're looking at has an effect.
One of the earlier arguments that was touched upon, even through an article link in episode 16 and 17, was the idea that through one of these online gaming situations, someone who is reserved or shy or, well, primarily shy, could learn to develop their social skills through an online environment, whether it's a chat room or a three-dimensional environment where you're pushing an avatar around. I don't know how much credence can really be lent to that. I mean, if you're naturally shy or you want to explore different aspects of your personality as far as how you interact with other people, do you believe that whether you're male or female, that this can be an aid, or whether it prevents people from actually developing genuine social skills?
I think it prevents genuine social skills because you have the protection of a screen, where I think what happens is, and I've seen this and I noticed this myself, it's almost like when you're driving, you have a lot more moxie than you do in real life, as far as if you're talking to someone face-to-face versus talking to someone face-to-face with a screen in between you. You're going to say things you probably wouldn't normally say. So I guess it depends if you consider that a good aid to kind of bring you along. You know, somebody who is naturally shy, it gives them a sense of protection
you know, there's little consequences, because what are they going to do? What's the worst that can happen to them? Versus if they said the same thing to the same person, and if Mr. Smooth Warrior over here, you know, said to you, hey, zinc is a precious metal, what do you... You know, you think this person would have said anything even remotely close to any woman in real life like that? No, you wouldn't. You do have a protection and a sense of...
anonymity.
Thank you. That you don't have in real life. So that can be good and can be bad. It could kind of help you build your confidence a little for dealing with people, but at the same time, it can also hinder you because you, if you do, there is consequences in real life to talking like that to someone. I have a perfect example of a character I met in the smaller RP realm who would say the most outlandish things to people, and in a way I envied him that he could do that, because even in that I was always, tried to be polite and, you know, you censor yourself a little, but he would come out with the most outrageous things. He would just speak his mind, but you know in real life he would never, ever say that. Be so forward and so blunt and direct.
He's being an asshole.
Basically.
Yeah, okay.
And there are some people I know who just don't care either way. But I think for many of us, the screen offers protection that we don't have in real life. Perhaps that's the attraction of it.
The little red X.
Yeah, and plus you can walk away, it has a little red X, you can log out, you can ignore if somebody's getting on your nerves, where in a real life situation you can't do that. You can't just say ignore. You can ignore them, but they're usually still in your face.
Just stepping for a minute beyond just gender roles, it's argued on both sides of the coin that you never actually know, you never, ever actually know for 100% certain who the other person is that you meet online in any capacity, whether it's a chat room or a 3D environment.
That's true, you don't.
Again, I mean, even if you've got someone on Ventrilo, you can usually recognize voice-altering software, but there's some good stuff out there. You never truly 100% actually know what the person looks like that's at the other end of the keyboard, and the argument is that because of that, you are interacting with who they actually are, as opposed to who you would think they are if you were looking at them in real life. In other words, if you meet someone in real life and you look at them and you judge them immediately by what you see physically, then you don't get an idea of who they are. But because they have chosen a certain avatar, a certain character, or just speak in a certain way in a chat room, saying whatever it is that they're going to say, that honestly is like a meeting of virtual minds for real. And then there are others that say, no, you're getting a completely false representation of who someone is because of the fact that they're wearing the mask or because of the fact that they have the screen.
It's both, I think. You get you know somebody when all you have are words to judge them by. They obviously have to communicate. They cannot communicate, through body language, through looks. They have no choice but to communicate with you, for the most part, through text. So you can tell, you know, a little bit about them, but I also think, again, you have that they would probably say things they normally probably wouldn't say. Maybe they wouldn't say. They'd be more shy in person. They would censor themselves more. So you kind of get an interesting mix. I don't think you could ever get 100% regardless if you're looking at them in real life or not. Yes, it does, you know, eliminate the automatic judging we do when we see somebody who doesn't fit the, quote, norm, unquote. You're not hindered by that. Somebody who's a paraplegic who in real life you would probably look at and have pity for, well, in this game, in a World of Warcraft or in any of these online role-playing games, you're dealing with the real person. You don't know about their physical condition. So it doesn't make a difference.
Mm.
You know, they can kick your butt when it comes to a duel. So it's a good, and it's both, I think.
Okay. Do you think PC games, console games, and these massive multiplayers, because they're getting more and more popular, do you think that more and more women are going to be drawn into it, either because they personally... Now that's something I didn't really ask you. What was it that actually drew you to computer and console games in the first place? What was the appeal?
They were fun. Do I need another reason? No. They were fun.
All right.
They were enjoyable. The RP particular game was fun because it was RP. It was role-playing.
Okay, so that at least is universal and cross-gender. I'm wondering if, where I was going then was, do you think as these games become more well-known, that more and more, that the balance, there'll be more of a balance between genuine, actual male and female players in the future?
There could be. I think, because the games are available now, and they're pretty widespread, I think it's just a preference of, what somebody wants to do with their free time. Maybe they want to sit and play in this. So, the argument from women I know is, well, it's not real. It's just a game. It's, what's fun about that? What's fun about running around and being a night elf or a troll or something? Woohoo! What? It just does not hold an appeal. And if it doesn't hold, I think, of course, as the younger generations who are brought up with this, yeah, they're going to get more involved with it. The old people, like me, are going to be, who come from the Space Invaders age.
How old are you?
I ain't saying.
Okay.
I am not saying.
All right.
I'm old, but...
Mrs. Adam Clive is not old.
I'm old, but if I'm coming from the Space Invaders generation, then you know.
Okay.
You got a general idea on the age group here. But as the younger generation starts coming up, yeah, I think there may be more women involved with it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it just depends on what you're brought up with as what you consider fun. I think it's fun.
Okay.
Especially God games.
Especially games.
Where I can destroy millions of people with a thought.
Is that... Yes, well, there is that.
I am not normal. I am not normal.
Nobody's normal. You look at it this way. You've got the rare, very rare, modern American woman who is into football and baseball, and enjoys both sports and follows teams, whereas the bulk, the majority, apparently, at least from my point of view and what I can figure out, the majority of men try to kill doggies that whine in the background. Majority of men are into football and sports. World of Warcraft, running around playing a night elf? What effect does it have on your life? Is it important in the long run? What does it really mean? Nothing. It's not real. Football?
That's real.
That's real. That has a direct effect on your life. Not. Well, it doesn't.
I agree. It's whatever you enjoy doing with your spare time.
Exactly. Both are equally unimportant.
And yet we will defend them with our lives if need be. Sorry, got a little out of control there. Sorry.
One of the things we left off the list was The Sims. You got into The Sims for a while.
Heavily.
Some of the people that were writing about the electronics entertainment industry were talking about The Sims as one of the major draws to get women interested in gaming in general, electronic gaming. Do you think, well, I know you're not particularly interested in how the whole industry is doing,
You go from your own experience and you play what you want to play because you find it fun or you don't find it fun. What about The Sims?
I think it appeals more to women because it's a virtual dollhouse.
It's a virtual dollhouse?
It's a virtual dollhouse. A little, you know, it's almost nostalgic. You go in, you have your little dollhouse, you make your little people do little things. It's, I think that appeals more to women though than to the male population. And the guys find that terribly exciting. What they are missing out on, which many women find quite enjoyable after you get the mechanics of the game and play through everything you can possibly play through, the real objective then becomes how to kill your Sims in numerous ways.
You keep coming back to that.
Because
you keep coming
but,
back, you keep coming back to condemning your little digital creations to death.
You noticed the trend?
Yeah, there's the class.
I have a God complex, apparently.
I guess.
I should have been a lawyer.
I guess so. I'm Will Wright. Has pretty much capitalized on that in general with most of his titles. Was he populist? Did he do populist?
I don't remember. I know he did the Sim City, obviously.
Right. Sim
I don't
City,
know if he did populist.
I think he probably, I don't know if it's because that's the kind of style of gameplay he likes or whether he just realizes lots of people would like ultimate control over at least one world, if not their own.
You can't have it over your own. You're going to sure as have it over little virtual people.
Well, as far as the feminine aspect of The Sims goes, though, it really does have all the elements that are stereotypically assigned to women.
Yes.
The idea of shopping for clothes virtually you're trying on. One of the downfalls, at least the way I looked at the game, was I didn't see nearly enough choice as far as what you could put on characters. I don't know what your thought about that was.
As a clothing thing goes, yeah.
For how your Sims could look?
Well, in the second Sims game, physically, the options were a lot more. You can do a lot more with them.
Well, they learned from their mistake.
They did learn from their mistake. As far as what to put on top of, I mean, unless you want to have your Sims running around naked, which some people do, but you got to put something on top of them. Yeah, that was always a thing that they're missing out on. But a lot of people do make, on a various number of websites, clothing for your Sim.
It did spawn a cottage industry for some people that were really industrious about it.
Yes.
Pay sites.
Yes, they're all pay sites now. There's nothing free. They used to be free when it came out. They used to be free, but they're not anymore. Now they're all pay sites. There's money to be made. But it just appeals more. I think if you look at it, there's no action. It's pretty much, you have little virtual people.
The only action.
Going through a day of, it's like, oh gee, my Sim goes to work. I just got home from work. Why do I want to play this?
Hence you build a swimming pool and take away the ladder.
Hence you build a swimming pool and take away the ladder. Or hence you find the cheat code and, put in...
You can say cheat code.
You can say cheat code?
Yes.
Okay. Cheat code. And make lots and lots and lots of money so your Sim never has to work. Or... It just works for the fun of it,
And you download the electric chair or the whatever.
Only the good sites had those things.
Only the good sites had the torture.
Oh, had the torture implements. Only the really good ones came up and they worked and they were really good. But I think even Electronic Arts realizes that people want to kill the Sims because they've taken great steps to try to make you not kill them. They've taken away the whole ladder thing. You can't drown a Sim anymore. The way you used to be able to.
No fair.
Now you got to get creative, more creative about it.
You got to give them credit where credit's due. I mean, Death with a cell phone.
Yes, that was a new feature. They did give Death a cell phone who you could talk to, but as far as the gender thing, why? That's the only reason I would think of is because it does appeal more to the feminine, almost nostalgia. You know, where you used to sit there and play with your little people when you were, 4 years old, if you did that. I didn't. Well, I would torture my little people, too.
As toys?
As toys.
You would torture your toys?
Absolutely.
What were some of the... This is... I think we're getting off.
We're way off the subject. The tangent monkey is hanging from the ceiling.
The tangent monkey is hanging from the ceiling.
It's hanging from the ceiling. But that's the basic reason, I think, because it's a virtual dollhouse. Guys don't want to play with dollhouses. They want to build them.
I admit, I got bored with The Sims pretty quick. But, I mean, admittedly, the most interesting aspects of the game were when things went wrong, when a fire started, when somebody didn't realize that, you know, supposedly you've got this artificial intelligence that's programmed to do what, and it can't figure out that all it has to do is open up the door, walk around the corner, and go to the bathroom before peeing itself.
Yeah, the AI is not real bright. Even in the second game, it's just not that bright.
I did enjoy the language, though.
That was clever.
I think that was a brilliant move.
Very.
To give them their own gibberish language that just conveys.
No matter where you are, on television, on the radio.
Those were great.
Newscasts.
Those were great.
Very brilliant.
One of the games coming soon is going to be Spore. And judging from the pictures, I mean, you just went to Amazon.com and we looked at the design interface for creating your creatures and your what's-its, and it looks as if, vehicles, it looks as if you're going to be able to assign textures to things. And what do you want to bet that people are going to be setting up texture sites and model formulas, that this game is going to be so big that it's going to be just like The Sims, where everybody's setting up their own little cottage industries to...
Absolutely. Yeah. They're going to be making textures and eyes and new limbs, maybe. I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't quite know from what I understand of the game. You can manipulate a lot of that yourself, but there's definitely going to be people out there being very industrious with this game.
If you spent 3 or 4 months making, I don't know how long it's going to take for real, but if you spent 3 or 4 months building a civilization in Spore, are you going to watch them progress and grow as cultures and begin to learn to travel and form one world governments or whatever and just in general become more and more complex and exhibit more intelligent behavior until you finally decide to
wipe
them all
out. Wipe them out. If I like them, if I grow fond of them,
mm-hmm.
Then I'll take them to apparently the ultimate level of the game from what I've seen, which is the space age, and we'll go and beat up other people. We'll go enslave other worlds, you know.
So you'll download the other worlds that other people have made and test your civilization.
Absolutely. Pit them against it, you know.
And if they fail, what is the price of failure?
Oh, they don't want to know. They can just, hey, if they fail, they can kiss themselves goodbye is what they can do.
And you'll start over from the protozoa.
Well, apparently that's what you're supposed to do anyway. Branch out into your own solar system and then into the universe in general and, yeah, make new worlds, make new creatures.
Okay. There's a creative aspect there that I think appeals to a lot of people.
Yes.
The infinite variety, I think, appeals to a lot of people.
Beating up, my mom can beat up your mom philosophy. In this case, my creature can beat up your creature.
That's a very competitive aspect.
Yes, but there's creativity involved. It's not just, you know, you plop it down. You had to build it, make it, mold it. And
you had to craft your weapon.
And feed it nightshade and kept it warm.
Okay.
There may be some who know what that reference is from.
I don't know what that reference is from.
I'm not surprised.
Feed it nightshade and keep it warm. Yeah. What is that from?
Silence of the Lambs.
Ew.
Anyway, yes.
Okay.
This is bringing up a whole aspect of my personality you didn't know existed, did it?
Well, I suspected. I mean, I know that you really did enjoy Dungeon Keeper.
Dungeon Keeper 2 was better. The only game thus far, next to The Sims 2, which actually improved on itself.
In other words, the sequel really was worth getting.
Was better than the original, yes, absolutely.
So one other aspect about the gender issue as far as gaming goes that I did want to touch upon and that is the portrayal of the male and the female in these games. And I think rather than going over all of them, concentrating on the most popular one today, what is your opinion of how visually, as a design, the male and the female are portrayed in World of Warcraft?
Overly stereotypical, depending on which race you're talking about, but...
Let's go to humans. Let's just go humans.
Humans, stereotypical. The guys are all big. Ain't an old person to be found in World of Warcraft. Ain't a fat one either. The only fat characters are the dwarves, and that's because they're supposed to be.
And they're not actually
And they're not really fat. They're just fat. Stocky.
Yeah.
They're a stocky character. And that's a dwarf. It's supposed to be a stocky character. But there ain't no fat people. They're all skinny. The women are not quite proportionate. I mean, nobody looks like this. Well, maybe some do, but only after spending a lot of money with surgery do they. And the guys are all buffed. You know, the guys are all buffed. You take, you know, you see the videos with them.
Yeah.
They got, you know, the six-pack abs and the cut arms. And
the rugged faces.
The rugged faces. And I mean, I think they're stereotypical. They're not, you know, and of course... Then you come back to, well, who wants to play an old fat person character? Well, not very many.
Well, the most you can do, actually, is just give your character gray hair, essentially.
And a mean face. They have a couple with a mean face.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Or, you know, disgruntled to look on.
Hmm.
But that's about as old as you can get. But physically, no. Physically, all the women have large chests, skinny, you know, skinny waists. They all look good in the spandex, okay? You don't want to put somebody who doesn't look good in spandex. You just don't.
Well, that's understandable.
That's understandable, because who wants to look at that? But it's, you know, it's cliched.
And they know their market.
They know their market. It's a bunch of teenagers for the most part. Not all of it, but I'd say a good portion of it are the younger crowd.
You know, I'm not really sure about that.
No, I think so.
I'm not really sure about that because of the number of people that have, you know, have had... at least a decade or so to watch the PC get more and more complex,
mm-hmm.
get more used to it, and are now in positions where they've got the disposable income.
They're the quiet majority.
The quiet majority.
They're the people that don't say much, like us, in the game, but you hear, just seems that there's a lot of youngsters.
The most vocal of them are using leet speak and...
Yeah, there's a lot of youngsters, I think, though, in the game.
Yeah.
And again, as an old person, such as myself, who wants to, you know, sit there and watch...
You are not an old
person. ...an old person on screen. You just, yeah, I understand the mechanics and the philosophy and psychology behind it, but let's face it, it's biased. It's not...
There's also, speaking of minorities or majorities... There's religious groups, I think, that don't particularly appreciate World of Warcraft or their kids playing it because of the spell casting. All the same reasons that
Harry Potter was banned.
Harry Potter was banned, and that D&D, they were having burnings of D&D books in the 80s.
Yes.
But you gotta think about it. I mean, you know, mom hears that her kid wants to play this game that all his friends are playing, so they go out and get it because he's, you know, such a bright, good little lad, and he puts the game on his PC because they don't know the first thing about it. Oh, that's, you know, that's all science stuff that he's good at, and, well, we'll let him have his whatever. And she walks past the screen, and she sees that he's playing a level 21 warlock, and stops dead in her tracks and looks and says, "What's that, Timmy?" And Timmy says, "Oh, well, Mommy, you see..."
With the succubus, no less.
"That's a succubus." She's wearing a thong. She has very large breasts. She has...
And a whip.
She has a whip. And she's got... And she's wearing... And she's a... She's... She's got bat wings, and she walks around on cloven hooves, and every once in a while, she goes, "Ooh," and smacks her ass and goes, "Ah." She's a demonic creature that my warlock summons.
And she does everything I tell her
to. Everything I tell her to. You know, I mean, what is the next thing that the mother would say after yanking the plug out of the wall and getting on the phone with the people whose number she tries to find on the box? Who are these Blizzard people? Well, like I say, they know their market. But you don't. The other, there's another. There's supposed to be a male counterpart to the succubus, I think.
There is.
Well, that they just came out with, or at a higher level. Whatever that big green, or is it blue or green sucker that's another one of the minions, and he carries a great big axe and he looks
that's
like
that's after
that.
60. That's some kind of demon. That is, I would not consider that a counterpart.
So the counterpart to the succubus would be like some cabana boy.
Yeah.
Buffed cabana boy that walks around talking like Duffman.
Not so cartoonish, but yes.
I don't know, I think the succubus is pretty cartoony.
Yeah, she is. But yeah, okay, Duffman. But that would be the appropriate counterpart. That other demon guy, no, you've seen them.
Yeah.
You've seen them out as NPCs. That's not a counterpart to her, I don't think. Not a true counterpart, anyway.
Hmm.
You know, you show me a guy in a Speedo, you know, with his, you know, leather boots and his own whip.
I just think it's interesting that they didn't do the male S&M count, because that's what she is.
That's exactly what she is.
S&M creature. They never actually did come up with one of those.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. I think, yeah, let's go to another break.
Okay.
Is there anything in particular coming down the pike in terms of computer games that you especially are looking forward to, or that you've heard about?
You know the answer to that.
I know, but I have to sound like an interviewer, so that's why I asked you the question like that.
Spore. Notice, yet another godlike game.
You can't get more godlike than starting from Protozoa.
No, you can't, but definitely Spore. Very much looking forward to that coming out, and if need be, will buy a brand new computer so I can play the game.
When was the last time, I ask listeners, when was the last time you heard a woman say, we're going to buy a brand new computer so we can play the game?
Who's this we?
I'm sorry, I was just trying to point out how lucky I personally am because of Mrs. Adam Five's enthusiasm. And I will ask, you don't have to answer this, but I will ask this. When the expansion came out, I'm not trying to embarrass you in any way here, but when the expansion came out, who was it that came home with the expansion packs?
The dogs.
Now,
they came running up the stairs with it in their little mouths and their little tails wagging. And
now, I suspect that could be something of a lie. It was just a question of circumstance, wasn't
it? Of course,
it,
really? Yes, yes.
I just happened to be home that day, and you happened to be out.
Yes.
Okay.
That's why.
That's why.
I didn't want them to run out. I didn't, you know, I did it so that you wouldn't be the one, running all over looking for this expansion.
You did it for me.
I did it for you.
Okay, you got the World of Warcraft expansion packs for the both of us.
You wouldn't have to be running around looking for it. See, I got it before it got sold out. That's the only reason I did. The only reason.
And I thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And I thank you for spending all this time talking to me about this stuff. And I'm sure our listeners thank you as well. And also, your personal welcome to the forums here in audio, live, interview style. Welcome. Thank you for joining.
You're welcome.
So I thought she was going to fling an ashtray in my face as I said that. Do you need more coffee?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to get more coffee. This concludes the interview, and thank you for listening. We return now to IDDFOS episode 36. Thank you very much, Mrs. Annam 5.
Thank you.
And so there it was. I thank you extremely much for listening to the bonus supplementary interview episode with Mrs. Annam 5. All letters that I've received thus far, all new shout-outs, welcomes, news announcements and information, and there's quite a bit of email that has stacked up because of the amount of time that has passed, that'll all be read and all be covered and given its normal treatment in our normal standard format in episode 36. But until then, I thank you very much for listening to this show, and I hope everything goes well for you, and best of days.
A thought. Remember, listen for another adventure of
International Detective Dragons from Outer Space.